My topic today is called Facing Your Giants. Let's open our Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, and then we're going to read from Numbers chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13 says this, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them." Some of you might ask this question and say, what does this verse has to do with anxiety? Well, it has a lot to do with anxiety. Do you know that scientists tells us, and the studies that have been done in science, that anxiety is directly connected to our self-worth? I want to tell you a little study that's been done on baboons in Africa. It was done by a professor from Stanford University, Robert Schapalsky. And he has studied baboons for over 30 years. And one thing he discovered when he studied the baboons is that the baboons who are in higher hierarchy, meaning the leading baboons, the dominant baboons, were less likely to experience stress and anxiety than those baboons who were on a lower level of the hierarchy, baboon hierarchy. And then Robert Schapalsky applied this study to British government workers. The government workers had clear hierarchy in their environment. And so what they found out, the interesting thing that they found out, that the higher you were on the ladder of success, on the ladder of this hierarchy in British government, the more likely you were happier, the more likely you were healthier. And the lower you are on that hierarchy level, the more likely you were anxious, depressed, and stressed. That people who were in management positions, who had more clearance, more freedom in their work, were less likely to get sick, less likely to get depressed, and people who were on the low level, or at least they felt like they didn't belong, at least they felt like their career is not going anywhere, were more anxious, more stressed. And in a video that we watched, we saw a guy who was totally defeated, and he was a government lawyer because he was on the lower part of this ladder. So let me bring it all together. The study of baboons, the study of British workers, tells us one thing, that when God said that he wanted you to be the head and not the tail, he was interested in your well-being. He was interested in your happiness. Do you know when God created Adam and Eve? First thing he said to them in their blessing, he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it." Now, God didn't say we should have dominion over people, but God did say that we should have dominion over everything else in this world. And science says that the more dominion you have, the more likely you're going to have a happier life. The less dominion you have, or at least when you feel like you don't have any dominion, then your happiness, your levels of joy, your levels of excitement, your levels of pleasure is very low. They studied the brains of monkeys, and the dominant monkeys, the part of the brain that translates pleasure would light up more in the dominant monkeys than in the submissive monkeys. What does that tell us? What does that mean? That means that the dominant monkeys could enjoy life better. They could enjoy food better. They can enjoy relationships better. They can enjoy the sunlight better. And the submissive monkeys, the sun didn't shine as bright. The food didn't taste as good. The relationship wasn't as meaningful as they were for dominant monkeys. So what is that conclusion then? Is the conclusion that we have to remove the social order? And if you believe we can, I think you're mistaken. I don't think we can remove the social order. God has designed people to be in different positions. Some people were to be leaders and others were not. But it doesn't mean that people who were not leaders should not have dominion. Because every human being was created in the image of God. Every human being was created to have dominion over areas of their life. You can say to me, well, I'm not a manager. Actually, I'm the last person who were hired. I'm the last on the ladder of the success, on the ladder of growth in my company. How can I have dominion? Well, dominion is determined not by what position you have. Dominion is determined by how you feel about your position and how well you do your work. I told a story that I was hired as a dishwasher when I was 14 years old, and I was the lowest of the lowest worker. And I was the dishwasher. I was the person who cleaned the floors. I was the person who washed the bathrooms after everybody was done. You know, I had an opportunity to feel like I was nobody. But guess what? I didn't allow that job to defeat me. I took dominion over that job. And instead of becoming depressed and saying there's no opportunities here for me at this restaurant, I said I was going to be the best dishwasher this company ever had. And after a few months, I learned the job and I became the best dishwasher of that job. And guess what? I never felt like I was the loser. I never felt like the job was the below me and I wasn't going anywhere. I felt like I felt proud of the work I did. See, you don't have to have high position. You don't have to have high paying job. You don't have to even have the best education to feel like you have dominion. I had a guy who was working with me. His name was Dave, and he worked there for like 15 years. And Dave tried to do the least as possible. And everybody was putting him down because he never got his job done. He was always slow. They said, Dave, you're slow. Come on, could you move faster? Dave, come on. And that would put Dave down even more. See, you could be a single mother. And you could be thinking, and the devil will come to you and say, you're nobody. You're not accomplishing anything. And it could make you feel like you're submissive. And when you are submissive, when you are defeated, he will try to defeat you. He will try to bring you down. He will try to say you're nothing. Your work is unimportant. And if you allow him to do that, then you're not walking in dominion. And you will begin to get depressed. You will get stressed beyond your capacity. You will get anxious and fearful beyond your capacity. Or you can do this. You can say, God put me in this position. Yes, the circumstances are not the greatest, but I can take advantage of this and I will become the best single mother there is. I will spend time with my kids. My kids will go to college. My house will be clean. I will set rules. I will tell my children what's good and what's not good. See, it's all about your mentality. I believe you could be a big shot manager. You could be the boss and you still don't have dominion. And people in your work tell you what to do. And people who you lead are leading you. Because you can never make a decision. You're unconfident. You're a people pleaser. Don't understand what it means to have dominion. God wants every person in this place to have dominion over their life, over their circumstances, over the elements in their life. If you're good in science, you should have dominion over the science industry. If you're good with math and money, you should have dominion over that area of your life. If you are good in business, you should have dominion over that. If you're good in sales, you should have dominion over that, and you shouldn't apologize for having dominion. If you're a cleaning lady, you should have dominion over the cleaning part. And if you're cleaning your bathrooms of your office, of this office complex, and a CEO comes in, you can tell him, you can't come in here till I'm done washing these floors. Because that's the place of your dominion. You're the king of your dominion. Amen? So it's important that doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. And doesn't matter what's been happening in your life. You still find a place. If you're good with computers, you should find your dominion in that. And people, and you should be able to tell people what to do and not feel bad about it. Every human being was created to have dominion. You have dominion over something. And if you're not walking in that dominion, then Satan will beat you up, will make you feel like a loser, will make you feel defeated. And that's not what God wants you to be. And so God says, I will make you the head and not the tail. Not so you can boast. Not so you can say, I'm better than you. Because then you're taking the wrong dominion over people. You're never meant to have dominion over people. You are meant to have dominion in the place of your gifting, in the place of your assignment, in the place where your anointing is and your power is, where God's grace flows in your life. That's the place of your dominion. And so when God says, I will make you the head and not the tail, He wants your happiness. Because He knows when you're the head, you're going to be more happy. You're going to be more joyful. You're going to praise Him more. Bible says, whatever you do, do this for the glory of God. Why do you think that He says that? He wants you to enjoy your life to the fullest capacity. When Israelites left Egypt, God said to Moses, choose 12 spies and send them to the promised land. He says, don't just choose regular people, choose the leaders of every tribe. Israelites were over 1 million strong. So every leader, it wasn't like these people were leaders of 20 guys or 10 guys. These were the people who were leaders over 100,000 people plus. Because total Israelites were the army of about over 1 million people. And so Moses takes these leaders, among them Joshua and Caleb, and sends them to the promised land. These are the warriors. These are the strong men. These are not the weak men. They go to this promised land and they look at this promised land and they see the beauty of it. They see the rivers. They see the lakes. They see the mountains. They see the good land. They taste the fruit of that land. When they return, they say, yes, this is a land of milk and honey. That's for sure. They take the cluster of grapes, and two men has to carry that cluster of grapes on one stick. They take pomegranates. They see that this land is beautiful. But then they come to the city of Jericho, and they see the walls that are 60 feet tall and probably at least 25 feet wide. They come to the city, and they realize, wow, this is not going to be as easy as we thought it's going to be. They look at the people in that land, and they see giants among them. Some of these giants were like Goliath, who were 8-9 feet tall, who were warriors, who were strong men. And when God said, I'm going to give you this land, 10 of them start looking at this situation logically. And logically speaking, looking at this situation logically, who were Israelites? They were a band of slaves who were just freed. They didn't have no weaponry. They had pitchforks, knives, and they had axes. That's all that they had. And here they were to face a superpower whose people resembled giants of old, whose people resembled strong warriors, who had organized army. And all they had was old people, children, and few soldiers with forks and knives. And so logically speaking, when the spies looked at these people, they saw that they were not capable of defeating them. And logically speaking, they were correct. Logically speaking, the walls were too big. The people were too strong. The giants were too big. Logically speaking, they couldn't defeat them. But how many of you know that this world is not built on logic only? This world is built with faith included in it. You can't just look at life logically. You have to add faith to it. Logically, some people shouldn't succeed in business. They don't have the education. They don't have good background. But how do they do that? Logically, some people shouldn't succeed in sports. I watched the guy who has no arms and legs, and he swims. Logically, that should be impossible. A guy, his name is Nick from Australia. He's married to a beautiful woman. That's impossible. How could that be? Logically, but this world is not built only on logic. How many of you know that every one of you, when you were built, God gave you logic, he gave you intellect, but he gave you one more thing. He gave you faith. How many of you know that all of you were born with faith inside of you? Human faith. And God doesn't want you to only exercise your logic. He wants you to exercise faith with it. If you only rely on logic, you'll never go far. Because it's never just logic. It's logic plus faith or logic plus fear. And guess what? Logic plus faith makes you look forward, dream big, achieve great things. Logic plus fear always makes you too secure, always make you not take any risk, not dream big, because what if you fail? But what if you succeed? See, God wants you, it pleases God for you to use your faith. Bible says this, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. And so when 10 spies looked at the promised land, they saw it logically only. But when Joshua and Caleb looked at the promised land, they saw the same giants. And logically, they knew they couldn't defeat him. But they weren't relying on logic itself. They were relying on the almighty, all-powerful, all-living God. Logically, it was impossible for slaves to leave Egypt. Logically, it was impossible for them to cross the Red Sea while the army of Egypt was crushed under the mighty waves of the Red Sea. Logically, it was impossible for them to survive in a desert with no food and no water. And God gives them water from the rock, and he gives them manna to eat. And then he gives them birds that started flying out of nowhere. Logically, it's impossible. And so if you look at life logically, you will look at negatively. But if you look life logically, plus you add faith in God, you're going to have a great, great success. I choose to put faith in God. I choose to believe something good is going to happen to me today. I choose to believe that something good is going to happen to our church. Our church is growing, guys. We're double than what we used to be, what we used to be a year ago. Imagine if we double that till next year. Wow. I'm not just going to rely on logic. I'm going to put my faith to it. And so Joshua and Caleb decided and said, and so these 12 spies looked at the land, and 10 of them got defeated by that land. Before they even fought it, they were defeated. Most battles are won before the fight takes place. Because it's psychological. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. And so they come back. They come to Moses, these 12 spies. And 10 of them start sending a bad report. They started saying, hey, listen. We can't take that land. The land devours its inhabitants. The land eats up anybody who comes against it alive. In that land, they have big walls, they have great army, and they have giants in that wall, in those walls, in those cities. We can take this land. And they started spreading bad news. They started spreading fear among God's people. Joshua and Caleb silenced them and said, listen, if the Lord is gonna bless us, then we will take this land. Then we will be victorious. If the Lord is for us, then we will take that land. But people, crowds usually believe fear better than they believe faith, because it reflects what was in their heart to begin with. The 10 spies said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Notice what they did to themselves. Instead of saying, with God we can dominate, with God we can be victorious, with God all things are possible, they said we were grasshoppers. Grasshoppers are known for thinking emotionally. Grasshoppers don't plan ahead. Actually, grasshoppers die during winter. Ants, if they said we were like ants, that would be a different story, because ants work hard. Ants prepare for the future. Ants come together and even attack big animals to protect their home. Grasshoppers, they die in the winter. They play around, they fool around the whole summer, and they don't plan for the future. And then when winter comes, they all die because of cold. Okay? So they said we were like grasshoppers. We're nothing. And guess what? That displeased God. Because they added fear to their logic. That always displeases God. And the two spies added faith. And Bible said, and God said to the 10 spies, you will never enter the promised land. You will die in the desert. And the only people who will enter the promised land was Joshua and Caleb, those people who believe. Do you want to have great life? Do you want to have a life full of great adventure? A life that accomplishes something? A life full of joy? A life full of just living? A life full of happiness? You have to believe God. You have to allow Him to increase your faith, to grow your faith, to push you to greater lengths, to push you to greater adventures. So the question is this: who are your giants today? And how will you stand in the face of your giants? Will you make yourself feel like a grasshopper and say, I'm a grasshopper, when you're a child of God, when you're a son and daughter of the King? Or will you say, I am the child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do the impossible. And although Satan says you will be defeated, you will lose, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe that I will win. Your giants could be a hard subject in school. And the devil says, you should just quit school. You should just quit college, because you'll never get this. And you can say, yeah, I guess I'm just a grasshopper. Nobody in my family ever graduated, so I might as well quit too. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks, and the devil comes and says, that's it. Everybody is getting divorced in your family, and that means you're going to get divorced. See, you're thinking that's a tail thinking. And God says, no. That's not how the head thinks. Head thinks this. No, what do you mean we can't make it? Yes, we can. We got the Word of God. We got a great church that supports us. We got great family that supports us. We got great friends who encourage us. Yes, we're going to stay together. What do you mean we're not going to stay together? Or you can choose to believe and say, well, you know, I don't want to live like this. I think I'm going to be happier if I bail out of this. And I don't care about the consequences. I know the Lord is telling me no. I know that God is saying no, stay in there, keep fighting. Or maybe it's your job. And maybe you encounter something, some heartaches at your work. And maybe there's a person who's driving you crazy. And you're like, I'm just going to quit. It's easier to quit and not show up and look for another job or go on an employment line. Or you can choose to face your giant. Maybe it's sickness that's facing you. And you're like, maybe I should submit to this sickness and just start acting like I'm sick. Or maybe you're still sick and you say, no, I'm not going to act like I'm sick. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to allow this disability, this thing that's stopping me, this thing that's coming against me to ruin my life. I'm going to live my life how God says I'm going to live it. Not how this fear, not how Satan says, not how life and circumstances tell me I'm going to live. Maybe you got legal problems. And the devil says, you'll never go anywhere. The only place you're going is to jail or to prison. That's it. No, you got to believe God. You got to stand up and say, no, God, I believe you can raise me up. I believe you can do the impossible. Point number two, You will always face giants on your way to the promised land. You will always face anything that God will do through you will be opposed by the enemy. Jesus was opposed by the enemy. Before he started his ministry, Satan came and opposed him. He wanted him to bow down to Satan. David, before he became a king, he had to fight his Goliath. If David didn't fight a Goliath, he would be a shepherd boy who nobody would know of. Nobody would hear his songs. None of his songs would be written in the Bible if he didn't face his Goliath. Joseph, if he didn't face his Goliath, nobody would know of Joseph. He would rot in the prison of Pharaoh and die there. And God would work this plan through somebody else. But Joseph decided to stand up to his Goliath. It was the spirit of lust that was coming against him, saying, hey, compromise a little bit. Nobody is watching. Besides, you are a slave and she is a woman of authority over you. And Joseph chose to go to prison, chose to lose his great position in the house of Potiphar than to compromise his beliefs. Who is your giant? Usually if you are facing a giant, that means you are going somewhere. God has a great plan for you. God has a great future for you. He wants to manifest himself. He wants to make you better and greater. Only if you don't compromise. Paul had to face giants every day. Bible says, actually Paul says this himself, a thorn was given to me in the flesh. And I asked God to remove it and he wouldn't. So Paul had to fight his giant every single day of his life. But guess what? Paul was never defeated by his giant. Although his giant was great, it was uncomfortable. But he chose to believe God who gives him strength. He said, your strength is, God's strength is manifested in my weakness. So I will boast in my infirmities. I will boast in the giants that I fight. Or you can say, that's it. I can't beat these giants. I'd rather give up. This Christian life is way too hard. I'm going to give up. This fight with lust or an addiction or an alcohol or drugs is too hard. I'm just going to give in. Now, logically, yes, I believe you. It is hard. Doctors will tell you that fighting an addiction is very hard. Fighting lust is super hard, I know. But guess what? You're not fighting it logically. Because you can't stand against it. It's too hard. You need to put your faith in God. Add faith to your logic. And say, yes, it is hard. It is impossible. But I'm going to believe in God who makes and with who all things are possible. Remember, on your way to promised land, you will always face a giant. And if you're facing one right now, God didn't allow that giant to be in your life to defeat you. God allowed that giant to be in your life to make you stronger. Joshua and Caleb, 40 years later, go to Jericho with an army. And the giants that the 10 spies feared 4 years earlier, now got so scared, got filled with so much fear that they locked themselves. They wouldn't come out and fight a whole bunch of tribal leaders from a desert who had no weapons, who had no weapons to defeat it or take down this city. They locked themselves up in the city and wouldn't even fight. Slaves, former slaves. But these people came, and the reason the giants got locked, barricaded themselves in the city, was they knew they weren't coming against them. Israelites weren't coming against them with their strength. They were coming against them with God on their side. They were coming against them with a power that made them tremble. Who's the grasshopper now? The giants became grasshopper. God has a sense of humor. And they start walking around this city. And after they walk around the city for 7 days, they blow their trumpets. There's going to be a day When you walk around your giants who are locked up in a city scared of you. And when you blow your trumpet of victory, the walls of that city are going to fall. And the giants are going to fall with those walls. Because those giants were standing on those walls watching this spectacle. And those walls, whatever those walls are, and whatever those giants are, they're going to fall. And God is going to give you great victory. And you're going to blow your trumpet and you're going to yell very loud. You're going to yell victory better than how your football team has won. Better than UFC fighter that you like has won. And you were going, yes, yes, yes. You're going to fight. You're going to yell the roar of victory. Bible says shout to God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. I believe there's a day coming into your life. I believe there's a day coming in my life. And this is not the only day. We constantly have these days. The days of victory over the giants in our life. And Joshua comes against the giants and defeats them and takes the mountain. You're going to take your mountain. You're going to take your mountain. You're going to take your mountain. Although I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But eventually I will come to my mountain. Valleys don't last forever. Mountains come after valleys. And Caleb took his mountain. Joshua took Jericho. And is known as the greatest general commander ever to live. Hallelujah. Facing your giants. You have to face your giants. David teaches us, and this is the last point, how to face our giants. He took what he had. He had the ability of throwing rocks. He comes against his giant. And rocks, stones, could represent the word of God. Stones can represent bread, which represents the word of God. He took five stones. He took five stones and he started swinging it. Goliath got offended because David came with a rock. A little short boy came against a giant who was at least 9 feet tall. And David says, you come against me with a spear, a javelin, with a shield, but I come against you. See, you have to come against. You have to go to that giant and you have to face your giant. You have to go to your fear and you have to face your fear. You have to go to anxiety and you're going to have to face your anxiety. I used to be afraid of coming to church by myself. Is to feel like there's going to be somebody who's going to walk behind me and some demon is going to attack me. And one day I got so tired, I came against it. I came to church at 10, 11 p.m. by myself. Closed myself in a basement of this church where it's the scariest place to be. And I said, I'm not leaving here until I have victory over my fear. And for 7 hours, I battled the enemy. My hair would stand up. I would have goosebumps. Many times I wanted to run out and just quit the fight. But I said, Lord, I'm not going in my own strength. I'm going in your strength. And I fought till 6, 7 in the morning. And eventually, God showed me how to fight my enemy. I would take scripture and start yelling at the devil. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. And I would yell with my own power. And when I would do that, Satan would attack me even more. It's like I would have these ghosts. The only way I can explain it, these spirits that I couldn't see would attack me. And they couldn't do anything to me. But boy, I felt their presence. And later, the Lord said, don't yell at them. Be calm, be still, and know that I'm God. And I would just say, Satan, I'm not scared of you. Calm, cool, collected. See, sometimes you have to yell. But sometimes you have to be in peace. And I said, I'm not afraid of you. You can't touch me. You can't do nothing to me. You have no power over me. I have Christ on my side. And the last thing happened, I heard a noise. I heard many noises. You know, when you fight the enemy, you hear a lot of noises, voices, whatever it is. But this time I heard a noise at 7 in the morning. Somebody was knocking on the door. But I thought I heard, and the devil says, that's it. See, it's real. This noise is real. That's me. Run. And I said, no. Actually, it was a person knocking on the door of the church. But Satan wanted to use that against me. And I said, no, I'm not going to run away. It sounds like a real knock, but I'm not going to run away. And I stayed there and prayed. And about 7:30, I knew I had victory. That's it. I wasn't afraid. These waves of fear would still start coming, and I wasn't afraid anymore. And the Lord said, you have victory. And then I started rejoicing. Then I started shouting to God with a voice of triumph. I started saying, I have the victory. I'll never fight this again. I'll never be afraid of the devil again. I'll never be afraid of praying for demonic people, people who are demonized, who have these weird spirits on them. I'll never be afraid of that because I have victory in the name of Jesus. Later I found out that it was a real knock on the door at 7 a.m. There was actually somebody knocking on the door. But I didn't go, and I had victory. And God has given me victory till this day. About 6 years now, I could be in church by myself. I could be in a dark place by myself. I could be anywhere by myself. I could be in a house by myself. And I know how to fight the devil. Doesn't mean the devil never comes. But I know that I'm in Christ, in the power of Christ. I'm more powerful than him. I'm stronger than him. He who lives in me is greater. I have victory. I know he's there, but he's not causing me any fear anymore. I'm not a grasshopper. I'm not going to run. I'm the victor. Because I got faith in the living God. So you have to stand up. David said, you come against me, but I come against you in the name of Jehovah, God of Israel. And today, he said, I'm going to take you down. And today, I'm going to cut your head off. And today, I'm going to give it to the birds. And everybody will know that there is God in Israel. Oh, what are you going to do? Are you going to run from your giants? How long are you going to run from your giants? Or are you going to stand up to them and have victory over them? And see, your giants are different than my giants. But nevertheless, every one of you has a giant. I want to tell you that Christ will give you victory. I want to tell you that he will give you strength. I want to encourage you today to take a step. Fill yourself with the word of God. Fill your pockets with the rocks. Rocks symbolize the word of God. Fill that with the word of God. And then when you come against your giant, take that rock and say, wow, this thing is insignificant. How can this little pebble destroy this big Goliath, this big giant? Well, logically, it can't. But you're not just relying on logic. Remember, you're putting faith, you're adding faith to your logic. And when faith and logic come together, it creates a great explosion. When David threw that rock, the faith added the power of God. Faith gave God opportunity to put force behind that rock. That rock hit that boy so hard. That rock hit that Goliath so hard. He was dead on the spot. Praise the Lord. Who are your giants? You will face giants on the way to your promised land. And three, you have to stand up to your giants. I come against you in the name of the Lord. That's a phrase today. Face your giants. Let God make you the head and not the tail. Walk in your dominion that you were given and live life to the fullest. Amen.